This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
We take you now to Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York to hear an address by Dr. Raymond Charles Bakker at the Sunday morning service of the First Church of Religious Science.
Good morning. I was going to say you aren't very enthusiastic, but I won't do it over again. You'll be enthusiastic when I get through with you. Going to talk in a couple of minutes on, is God a fact or a theory? That should really bring out the wellspring of inspiration in you and in me. In the meantime, let us take a moment to realize that we are in a great creative experience. That life right here, right now, at this instant, is a magnificent activity. Never run down life. It warrants your praise, your acceptance, your belief in it. Because whatever life is, it's the most wonderful thing you and I have. And it is the health of our bodies, the health of our minds. It is the creativeness of our activities. It is the creativeness of our relationships with people. So life is wonderful. Some years ago, the founder of this teaching, Mr. Holmes, wrote a book called This Thing Called Life. And his whole theory was, you are alive, so you might just as well study life. If you're going to be alive for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you ought to know more about it. We all study the negatives of life, and we need to study the positives of life. In other words, when there is health, there is activity, there is inspiration, there is love, there is good relationships, there's creative things in business, in the home, and all the rest. So we are alive with that life. That life is our life right now. We do not concern ourselves with yesterday, nor do we worry about tomorrow. At this moment, we are vitally alive with a creativeness. And this creativeness is probably what in the past we have called the spirit, which is the life, the intelligence, the movement, the flow, and the love which you and I have. All right, let's be still a moment and take this into the depths of our minds, that we are life living itself. We are life living itself. This is true in our bodies. It is true in our minds, our emotions. It is true in the experiences of this day. There's one life, one spirit, one intelligence, one love. We all have it. It created us. It is an action in us. And it is forever expanding, forever evolving, forever unfolding. This life is wonderful. And so I praise it, this life that is in you and in me. It's great. It has no limitation save that which we place upon it. So it is health to our bodies, it is ease to our minds, it is quiet to our emotions. It is creative and progressive in all of our affairs. This is the life of the spirit, and it is our lives right now. All right, so it is. For those of us here in Alice Tully Hall this morning in New York, I say that because so many people are listening by radio. We're going to turn to the third page in our program, in your hand. We're back to an old favorite of mine. You started this off last Sunday with Mr. Grayson as your speaker. So we're back to this old, grand old tune and these good new words. We build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on the patterns formed today. That's exactly what we believe. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow is not yet born. But we will build it according to our pattern of today. All right, you all know this grand old tune. If you don't, you soon will if you're here for the first time. I won't mention the original name of it because it'll take you all back to the Methodist Church. And I don't want you going back there. I want you here. So, shall we stand and sing it with authority? Now to our discussion of the morning. Is God a fact or a theory? I'm sure you are well aware that to the bulk of the population, God is most definitely a theory. It is something you believe out of tradition. You've always believed it because your parents told you you should. Your Sunday school teachers announced the thing to you again, told you had to believe it. And you've lived in this Western culture with its prevalence of Christianity, where it has been a commonly accepted thing that there is a God, but you don't need to pay much attention to it unless you want to have a baptismal service for a child, then it comes in handy. And there is a God, and in case you want to get married, it's better if a clergyman does it than a justice of the peace. Then, of course, God's very important for 3 days at the time of death. By the sixth day, he's forgotten again. Now, I am not being too unkind. I think any clergyman would tell you the same story. That a belief in a theory is better than a non-belief. I could never be an atheist because I am not mad at whatever the creative power is. I told you some months ago, a book came out about 3 years ago on atheism. A scholar made a great study of it. And he ended up with the conclusion that the atheists weren't mad at God, they were mad at the Bible. And the more I think about this, I think the more possibly it is true. So we're going to talk about this morning. What do I personally believe? I absolutely believe in the fact of God. But not because it's a theory, not because it's a theological project, not because I'm told to believe that way, but because of my individual experience with it. See, you and I have moved into a new era. And one of the great changes that are taking place right now is the fact that collective religion is falling apart. And individual experience of whatever the creative power is gaining a great momentum. People say it isn't true unless I know it is true from my own experience. And that is right. That is the way it should be. Other people on the other side of the fence say it is true because of the scriptures, because of doctrine, because of theology, because of tradition, and they have a perfect right to believe that way, and I have no condemnation of it. But I myself can say that I know that God is a fact from my own individual experience. And perhaps due to my functioning in this position, one way in which I know it is a fact is that I get ideas from somewhere coming through the flow of my consciousness every time I do any public speaking, ideas that I have never known before, ideas I have never read before, ideas I have never discussed before. Every once in a while, some absolutely new idea breaks through my consciousness during a public lecture. And now, where does that idea come from? It has to come, or at least I believe it has to come, out of a universal intelligence. See, I believe that you and I are swimming in a sea of mind just as a fish is swimming in a sea of water. And just as the fish is dependent upon the water, so you and I unknowingly are dependent upon the mind in which we are functioning. There is this universal something which is forever in us, through us, as us, and which, when we give it a chance, functions. Now, we may use many systems to give it a chance. We may do various forms of meditation. We may do what in this teaching we call spiritual mind treatment. We may do even the old-fashioned prayer, or we may read a book or a scripture or something else to get it activated in us, but nevertheless, it is there. You exist in a mind which knows more than you do, which offers itself to you, which is your mind right now, and upon which you can draw, from which you can take, and by means of taking it, you can do what you want to do at the time that you want to do it. Now, this infinite something is always a now. It is not a future thing. The most unfortunate people in the world are those who think they're going to see God after they die. Because when they get over there, they don't see God. They see all their relatives. Especially the ones they didn't like. One of the interesting stories we have in the New Testament is that after the death of John the Baptist, and you remember the poor man had his head sliced off, after the death of John the Baptist, some of his disciples came to see Jesus, and they said, "Are you the Messiah who was to come?" And he gave them a very simple answer. He gave them a now answer. And he said, "Well, just look. The sick are healed, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk." And that's all he said. He was saying, in essence, I am not the Messiah, particularly. Everyone is a Messiah to himself. But here is a proof of a now action. Not a future action. Not something that's going to take place 100 years from now, 50 years, whenever you and I leave this place. But here is a now action. Look at it. The sick are healed. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Now, what more do you want than that? He was, in essence, saying. Because you and I, in most instances, put our good off to the future. That's why it is much easier to believe in a good after death than it is in a good right now. This has far more appeal. To believe in a good after death than it does in a good right now. Because in order to have a good right now, we have to create it. We have to do something about it. We have to participate in a process of its functioning. For afterwards, after death, we can just assume that it's there. Well, I don't, but at any rate, the other person may. And we get it as a free gift, providing we behaved well here. Well, no one behaves well here. No one has ever walked this planet in being alive that has behaved too well. I certainly haven't. I just get wiser as I grow older and have cut out many of my previous activities, but it's more from fatigue than anything else. At any rate, the memories linger on. Now, if there is a God, and there is, and if it is an impersonal life, mind, and spirit, which I believe it is, and if it is my life, mind, and spirit at this instant and throughout the rest of this day and tomorrow and all the rest, then it is that which I am. So I am the individual functioning in a universe of mind of which I am the conscious participation, of which I am the experiencer, and also of which I am the determining factor, if I choose to determine it. That I choose to do. And that's what most of you do. Because I want what I want now. I don't know what I want 50 years from now. And I'll let that go until I get there. But I know I don't want a cloud and I don't want a harp. That much I'm sure of, even in this present speculative mood. What I want now. And it's interesting that every great spiritual, going to say thinker, I don't know that I want that word. Exhibitor might be better. These great people, men and women, always gave the individual what they wanted at the moment. Now, in addition, they may have promised them a great thing in the future. But Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament, Jesus and Peter in the New, among others, all the disciples, and in the Eastern Scriptures as well, these people gave the person what he or she wanted at the time that he or she wanted it. Meaning, it is available, it can be. And so my question is, why not have it? So I have, through the years, in working on myself and on others, demonstrated beyond any question in my mind the fact of spiritual healing. This is independent of and not in contradiction to the usual methods of healing, because we respect the medical authority, the medical opinion, but we have had so many cases. I say I and many people whom I've trained and other people around the world, where the patient should have died and didn't, or where an illness vanished in ways and means not usually used by the average person. More than this, I have seen people, and myself included, demonstrate prosperity through spiritual principles, beyond the shadow of a doubt. And there are any number of you people sitting out there in front of me this morning, who, if I were to ask you, would say, yes, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we have demonstrated a greater freedom in life, which is what the word prosperity means. We have demonstrated a greater freedom in life. And I can go on and on. The people who, due to spiritual thinking, have made greater communications with other people, have reduced their fears to a minimum, have done all these things. And I have participated in many of these, others I have not participated in, but watched. And to me, this is the proof. A theory is only so if it works. And a theory does work when we work it, in this instance. If there is a universal intelligence, you are it, it is you, and you determine your experience by the action of your mind and your emotions. Now, naturally, this is not new. That's why the founder of this idea made it very clear that this was not a revelation, that religious science is a compilation, not a revelation. It is the bringing together of great ideas that many men and women have had, and putting them into a means of demonstrating them in fact. So we make no claim of a divine revelation, but we do believe in God more than anything else, well, more than anything else there is, because we believe in the creativeness of the individual self. And we believe in a general beneficence called evolution, meaning that which is trying to improve the human family. Because there is something nodding at us to follow it. There is something touching our shoulders saying, let's grow bigger. Let us deal less with negatives and more with affirmative action. That is that thing, I suppose, that we have called through the years conscience. That which says, you shouldn't have done it, but now forget it, but don't do it again. Shouldn't have done it, but don't worry about it, just don't do it again. That's conscience. Now, of course, in most people, conscience leads to a survey of the past, a repetition of negation, a dwelling upon it until it becomes nauseating to the subconscious mind, so the person gets sick. So, I like that phrase. There's one that I've never said before. The serious negative thinking causes the subconscious mind to become nauseous. When it becomes nauseous, it makes you sick. At any rate. Now, this ability, then, to see clearly, because we're not ignoring evil, we're not running around saying this is the kingdom of heaven on earth, particularly with the headlines of the moment, We're not saying that everything is all right when it isn't. We're merely saying one thing. In you and your use of mind and emotion, everything can be all right. In you, in myself, the way we use our minds and emotions creatively, effectively, affirmatively, with a minimum of concern about the past. I often quote that statement from a writer by the name of Paul, who said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward unto the goal of my high calling." Because he too realized that people always go to the past. Now, the memories of the past that are good are fine. And they are great to recollect occasionally. But if you're going to be a today person in a today world, operating as a today God, then you are pressing forward. You are handling consciousness as a precious gem, which it is. And as you know, the teacher said, you don't throw pearls before swine. You don't. So we don't throw our consciousness off into various kilters, to use the term, sidetracks, negative exploitations, manipulations. Because it's very easy to do this. I can do it, you can do it, we can take it at any moment. We can start going to the past, digging up unhappy experiences and going into a real emotional problem. But we can't afford to do this. I believe that consciousness is like a beautiful diamond in a beautiful setting of mind. And so I watch over it. I use it intelligently. I use it correctly most of the time. And I proceed about the business of being what I want to be now, doing what I want to do now, producing what I want to produce now. So, I'm not waiting for 65 and Social Security. I'll take it. Don't worry. But I'm not waiting for it. It's there. On my pathway, I don't need to worry about it. I carry my little card. But to come back now, I doubt that we met. That's why we have the constant admonition from spiritual minds of now. Now. And that's why I, every Sunday and in our classwork, admonish now. This is old hat to many of you. But again, as Mr. Holmes told me years ago, the consistent repetition of any idea eventually leads to its demonstration. I'm going to say that one again, it's not mine. The consistent repetition of any idea eventually leads to its demonstration, to its fulfillment. And that is why when I am doing my serious thinking each morning, when I am thinking here with you, the group action, I am consistently reminding myself that the life that I am living is now, the mind I am functioning in is now, the emotions I am employing are now, and the experience I am experiencing is now. Now, if I can take control of that, then, as we sang a few moments ago, then I need not worry about tomorrow because I have made the pattern clear. So I am totally healthy today and I expect to be tomorrow. And I will not let anyone talk me into the idea that I won't be. I'm absolutely well now. I'm fairly inspired now, and I will be tomorrow. And I expect to wake up tomorrow morning feeling great like I did this morning. When I was living in the family unit, my sister used to be so annoyed because every morning when I woke up, I felt wonderful. And she was one of those that it took about an hour before she really felt fully alive in the morning. And so I'd get up in the morning, you know, with all this feeling of goodness, life, vitality, and energy. And she'd say, "Shut your bedroom door till you're ready to go downstairs." So I did, so that she could have her time for grumbling. And also her time for coffee, which has done more to bless the human family early in the morning probably than any other single ingredient. And that's why I think coffee is a spiritual action. Of course, I think the whole universe is spiritual, so I have to include coffee in it. And it's wonderful. Now, is God a fact or a theory? If what you believe about God is theoretical, then that's all right. But I suggest you try it out. You try it out. Don't worry about a future hell. If you're in hell now, get out of it. Don't worry about a future heaven. If you haven't got one, make one. If someday you're going to do something, do it now. The whole thing is this instant. Because time is the measurement of man's mind. It has nothing to do with infinity and eternity. It has nothing to do with the creative process of life. The trees which will soon be building new leaves, they do not know what day of the week it is. They're unconcerned with the hour of the day. They only know the sun comes up and it goes down. They're not worried about the future, not even death nor taxes. They only know one thing. They're busy making leaves on the inside. At the right time and the right way, the leaves will burst out on the outside. And you and I will welcome them with great joy. Nature is unconcerned about time. Life in its abstract sense is unconcerned with time. But we, the human mind, have made time a horrendous limitation. We really have. And we need to lessen this thing. Particularly in this science, we have to lessen it. We work with it, but we're not hindered as much by it. Because we're not speculating on future evil. We are working with the now consciousness, creating what we want tomorrow. So there's no speculation of future evil. So I am not speculating about when and how and why I'll ever leave this plane of action. I'm absolutely unconcerned. I want to be healthy today, and I am. I want to be creative today, and I am. I want to be able to live and love and laugh today, and I am. And I believe that laughter is one of the greatest agencies by which God works. Book of Proverbs, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And I read recently, I've forgotten where, but anyway, in a study made by the medical profession, that cancer appears less in happy people than it does in unhappy people. So, let's get happy. So we won't be the one out of six. No. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. And Does this mean we should never have a negative? That's an impossibility. I can't function a single day without negative experiences, nor can you. But I've learned to let them go once I've gone through them. I do not take my worries home with me at night. I used to, including a full briefcase of which I could work on in the evening. One day I said, this is ridiculous. This is just self-martyrdom and self-pity, ego exaggeration. With that, I left everything at the office when I left it at night, and everything's been going along quite well ever since, much to my amazement. Now, the world can really get along without those 2 extra hours at my desk at home every night. In fact, it gets along better. So, no, we can't function without a certain amount of negatives. This is the way it is in life on this planet. We have to accept it, see it as it is, but we don't linger. We don't glorify them. You see, that lovely sentence, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doesn't magnify an unkind statement someone made to me yesterday. So what? I guess it's time for me a couple of months to give my talk. Yesterday ended last night. I try to give that once a year. Really, it's a talk I'm giving today, so I don't need to give it 2 months from now. Where your attention goes, there you go. And your attention goes where your subconscious mind has prepared the way. So we're back to our friend, the subconscious mind again. Where your attention goes, there you go. And your attention goes in the way that the subconscious mind has prepared for it to go. And so what are we doing here? We are using spiritual techniques to change the subconscious mind through the consistent repetition of ideas. It's that simple, but that difficult. We are using creative and affirmative techniques to consistently repeat ideas which will make the subconscious mind act and react to produce what we want. Now, this is a plus element. This is not auto-suggestion, although it seems to be. Auto-suggestion is the human mind changing the human mind. We're not doing that. What we call spiritual mind treatment is the recognition of the positives which we did not create and could not create. You could not give birth to yourself. You cannot heal a cut finger. You cannot circulate the blood in your body. You cannot digest your food. You don't even use your conscious mind to walk. And you've never seen your own face. During my vacation, I read a very fascinating article, which I'm going to talk on some Sunday. I'm not going to take time for it now. Written by a noted Hindu teacher. And out of the entire thing, this thing just struck me. You have never seen your own face. You've only seen it in a mirror. There are many parts of your body you've never seen, except as you've seen it in a mirror. So you've never, when I read that, you've never seen your own face, Then I realized why Genesis says we are the reflection of the real face. Why this whole theory of the mirror has come down through the ages. You know, it's been a part of all the ancient philosophers. At any rate, think on it. I think it'll make you think, too. I've tried the other day to get to see the end of my nose. And I, by twisting around an awful lot, I was able to see there is an end. I've never seen my hairline except in the mirror, but I rejoice that it's there. Now, we are using spiritual techniques, simple ones, to put into our subconscious mind ideas that we want. At the same time, we are using this same technique for the elimination, as much as possible, of the old negative patterns, habits, that we have accumulated through life. I have, you have. But they will gradually go, not completely. And the new ideas, the new patterns will appear, will demonstrate themselves, but it's still a now action. I have to do it now, if I want it then. I have people say to me, Dr. Bucker, I want to be spiritual, and I say, you are spiritual. And they look at me with their eyes open, wide open. Oh, but I do this or I do that. And I say, well, stop it. You make a list of what you do or don't do, you're off on a rat race, witch hunt. You're off into self-depreciation. And pretty soon you're off into serious neurosis. That isn't the way to do it. The individual is spiritual right now by virtue of being the individual. By the fact that life created you out of itself, you are it. Now, we all ought to behave better, I agree. I'll shake hands with anyone on that. But it's a now thing. All right, I've given you an idea or two as to whether God is a fact or a theory. I think it's a fact. Well, I know it. I don't think. That's why I'm not interested in whether there are saints in heaven or not. I am not interested in the old theology. I respect the people who believe in them. If I can't have it now, I don't want it then. Luckily, I happen to know from my study of metaphysics that it can be done now when the individual decides to do it now. And I trust that we are those individuals making that decision. So ended the lesson. Here at our religious science activity in Alice Tully Hall in New York City, we're going to do that which comes naturally. We're going to take up the morning collection. Thank you. Next Sunday, I'll again be your speaker and expect to be so now right through the month of May. But you all like Mr. Grayson. They said he was wonderful the last 2 weeks. Oh, good. So next Sunday, I'm speaking on the subject, the power that heals. The power that heals. Next Sunday at the same hour, same place. All right, the announcements as usual. In your program, you have three announcements, I believe. But note the one of the class which starts this afternoon. Mrs. Sims will be teaching this afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock at our own building, 14 East 48th Street. That's our mail address. It's our own building of classrooms. And seven lessons using seven techniques for the attainment of self-realization. She's an excellent teacher. I have to speak very well of her. She's seated behind me at the moment. But she is a good teacher. And many students in the last class attest to this. People say, why do you have it on Sunday afternoons, Mrs. Sims? And the answer is there are many, many people who cannot easily get to our church building during the week, meaning they work in an area outside of New York, and to get into New York in the evening with traffic and all the rest is quite difficult. And so these Sunday afternoon lectures are designed not only to have inspiration and help and healing, but to fill a need for many people who cannot easily come to our building during the week for class instruction. So if you're interested in it, come this afternoon on a single lecture basis if you want to, and or if not, sign up for the entire course. It's a pleasant way and a creative way and inspired way to spend a Sunday afternoon. The New York Times will still be waiting when you get home, whether you get home right after church or whether you get home at 4:30. It'll be right there, and thank God it's there. But 2 hours of Sims preceding 2 hours of the New York Times is very therapeutic. Now, last Monday night, Mr. Grayson opened his class on the great religious concepts of history. If you're interested, you can get a notice of it outside and be at the class starting tomorrow night. This coming week, a new series opens up. You will note it. And it's Wednesday afternoons at 2 or Thursdays at 7, in which the center section of our textbook, The Science of Mind, will be taught. And Mr. Pace will be teaching this, and as you know, he's an excellent teacher. So, you may start. There's another one here of a future class that I'm going to be given on the Kabbalion, which is a fascinating, easily read book. And get it out at the tables this morning if you want to see it. But I'm not starting mine until the 17th, so that's some time away. The religious science activity for youth, which meets on Saturdays, started yesterday with an excellent registration, and available outside is a descriptive sheet on it, which is available, and you can get it outside at the information table. Now we have the regular noon meetings, as always, every day in the week, with one last slight change. That is that tomorrow, Mr. Pace is away again. And I can't complain, having been away on a vacation, so he has a rightful short one himself. So Mr. Grayson will carry the Monday and the Tuesday noon meetings. I will carry Wednesday, Mrs. Sims Thursday, and Mr. Herman's Friday, and Mr. Cooper's Saturday. That's at our building, to which all your mail should be addressed, at 14 East 48th Street. And for the radio audience, that is New York 117. So, outside are all the books and the magazines. If you want a cassette tape of any Sunday morning talk, it is available. A number of them are out there of previous talks, and if you want one of today's, write us or apply out there, make out a form, and we'll be glad to mail it to you. We have cassettes of every Sunday morning talk, and they're available to $5 each. When I came in this morning, one of the book table workers said, "Why did you send all those extra power of decision books of yours?" And I said, "For a very simple reason, I'll tell you later." So I hope she's within hearing. We have a very friendly guy that we love very dearly, a man known as Reverend Ike. Last Sunday, in front of 5,000 people, he announced that The Power of Decision was the greatest single metaphysical book that had ever been written, and that he'd gotten more good out of it than he had from any other source. Well, naturally, they didn't have enough there, and many of Reverend Ike's followers come here, so I said, send extra copies, because I'm sure there will be people that want it. So we have them. The book is my latest book, Power of Decision, and it's $4.95. So we can send it out through the mail, or you can get it here. But I bet you we don't have one left when the recessional is over, as we call it. That dreadful word. No, we're not going to go out of here in a recessional. We're going to go out of here in a progressional. And so it is. All right, let's now rethink this through a bit. This afternoon, you cut your finger and something heals it. Tomorrow, in your work day, whether it be in the home or the office, wherever, you get a sudden new idea. It has to come from somewhere. Perhaps this is the week you fall in love. I mean, it's something that just happens. Or maybe this is the week you give up one of your old nasty habits. That's also the action of life. Yes, these things happen. I can't grow a fingernail if I wanted. But life knows how to do it, and it knows how to repair one I've damaged. Wonderful. No, we're in something, ladies and gentlemen, that is beyond that which the human intellect can know. Where do great novels, works of art, the whole bit come from? They come out of a universal intelligence, a universal mind. So like the sea with the fish swimming in it, there is one mind and you are swimming in it. I am swimming in it. We're all swimming in it. And its entire program is beneficent, creative, for the enlargement of life. And you and I are the means by which it acts on this planet. The larger life, the greater love, the more abundant good. But we have to think it. We have to believe it. We have to accept it. We have to say, I am worthy of it. We have to get rid of all self-pity. We have to minimize guilt. We have to be able to say, I am a perfect spiritual being right now. If you don't like that language, you change it. I am living life to the fullest right now. It's another way of saying the same thing. But say it, be it, and it's wonderful. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea? There is one God, one mind, one life, one love, one greatness, one goodness. And it created us and it acts by means of us. So it is life. It is wisdom. It is beauty. It is love. It's everything that you are and everything that I am. And it's now. And it's great. So be it.
Sunday morning service of the First Church of Religious Science has been broadcast from Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. Please address all letters and contributions to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, First Church of Religious Science, at 14 East 48th Street, New York 10017. A list of books and pamphlets is available on request. You're cordially invited to attend these services in person or listen again next Sunday morning at 11:05. for another broadcast of the Sunday morning service of the First Church of Religious Science.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.